The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is our monthly program in which we invite to the table here at our studios of The Rock, one of our local bishops, to talk with us and to talk with you about all kind of things, seasonal and local and throughout our country and throughout our world. And this month, we're very pleased to welcome back, and he hasn't been here for about 6 months, but you're always welcome, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He's the bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop Milan, welcome back to our Table Talk program.
Thank you so much.
Christ is among us.
He is always.
Bishop, we're here in about 1 month after Christmas, and we have so many things to talk about with people today. The many very important feasts that follow Christmas, Epiphany, the Presentation, how the Holy Trinity is revealed to us, many things on the table today. But before we get to them, what we'll ask you to do, as we always do, is to please lead us in an opening prayer.
Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, ever present, filling all things, treasure, blessing, glory, and life, come and well, visit us, cleanse of all stain, and save our souls, O gracious one. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, Bishop, Happy New Year to you. Also,
thank you. Happy New Year.
We come into the year 2023.
To your listeners as
yes,
well.
Yes, Happy New Year to everyone listening. You were last with us middle of 2022, and so now this is the time of year. We look back a little bit on what happened in the old year, and also we'll be looking ahead to 2023. When we look back at 22, Bishop, for those of us who are close to the situation, we look back and we see what happened in Ukraine. Pretty soon is going to be 1 year since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and we've talked about this so much. What are you thinking and praying about now, almost 1 year after, Bishop?
This year, this past year, 2022, really was for me a very sad year, because I realized that we wasn't able, you know, to be smart and to learn from the Second World War. What was tragedy for all world, not only for Europe. And we know that from in the history, in the stories in our families in Eastern Slovakia. And again, we see this repeating something again. You know, this control, the power to control other people, to not leave their liberty, the freedom. And this is a scare. It scared me. And I'm really sad. And I'm surprised of also the many reactions of the people in Slovakia, for example, how they are banalize all, you know, the situation, how they are blamed to not see, you know, the innocent people who are, you know, killed and killing. How they should be react if their country will be attack somebody from outside and will should say, it's okay. You know, this is something for me that I don't understand. And I'm praying for Ukraine. I'm in contact with many friends in Ukraine. And I'm praying really that this war should be as soon possible really to, you know, to stop, to finish. But also, you know, that also as every country and every nation has, you know, to write for identity and to be self-identity to have, to respect also Ukrainian nation and to give them, you know, what, and also all countries and also United States, as we see, you know, the support, great support, that should really will have, you know, this independence as an independent sovereign country. Ukraine.
Yeah, we look at this, and now almost a year later, still so much human suffering and human misery. Yeah. The people and the children. Since you were here last time, what we learned is about the atrocities,
also. The mass killing and the graves and all these things and the torture, even of children. Bishop, as Christians, as Catholics, we try to think about this. And in our church services, we pray for those people who are oppressed, and we also pray for the persecutors. This is very difficult for us and for a lot of people like us with roots in Eastern Europe. You know, you look at this, and how do you pray for those who persecute you? This comes right from Jesus. He tells us to do this, but it's so hard, Bishop.
Yeah, this is, I was, you know, this my last visit, I was in November, on the end of November in Europe, and I was also for a couple hours in Ukraine, in Uzhgorod, on Transcarpathia region. So I was surprised at all the situation when I saw, you know, the sad faces of the priest, practically exhausted, as a despair, something, you know, the seminarians, the, you know, the atmosphere where you are, you know, the blackout of the electricity. I was not only surprised, but, you know, I could see, I could realize directly really the atmosphere of the war. It was my first experience in my life, because I never realized, I have experienced, you know, the country where I was present physically in country where there's a war. Even that, you know, the Transcarpathia as a region is not, you know, shelled, but enormous changing. For example, this city Uzhgorod, before the war, they have, you know, 120,000 inhabitants. Right now, they have 300,000.
Mm.
So the houses, the building of the houses, you know, the, all, you know, the
all
refugees. Refugees are coming. And also, you know, the many people are building, you know, the new, completely new houses and new apartments on the borders with Slovakia, that practically people are just, you know, for sure to have prepared some house, some apartment in case if eastern part will be in damage or something, they will come there and they will be ready. Mm. Practically couple hundred meters from, you know, Slovak borders, Slovak-Ukraine borders, are starting huge quarters, new buildings, new apartments. I was surprised. I thought that I'm in Vienna. Hmm. On some, you know that. So, and all this atmosphere when I was, you know, in seminary without electricity, to cook, you know, for 60 young men, breakfast.
With no electricity.
No electricity, breakfast, lunch, dinners. So that is impossible. How they have to, you know, create and to be, you know, to creative. They have to, you know, to put, you know, the cable, I don't know, hundred feet from charity building, because charity has electricity always, and is not so far from them, to lead, you know, the electricity and to, you know, to take care of them. This is really, you know, the impossible and incredible things, you know, from U.S. Americans here, citizens. What does it mean, war? The pensions, the retirement, $60 for months, the prices doubled, tripled. You know, the foods you have, you know, the goods in the storages, as in the supermarkets, but how much they cost. The gas, you know, the all how it's going up is incredible. So I saw that how they need, you know, our support, and I saw that how they were grateful that I was there even for a couple hours. And on the end, one priest told me, "Why you came for so short time? Please remain here." And I said, "I'm sorry, I have to go back in U.S." So, but I saw that how it's important to express them in this situation that we know about you. You are not alone. We pray for you, even, you know, this human, physical, you know, to say, we are with you. I saw how was, you know, important for them to listen there. When I was visiting the Bishop, Bishop Neil Luščak, no, in the Apostolic Administrator of Mukačevo Eparchy. The same, you know, you see Bishop, you know, in the sweaters, in the, you know, the hat, because it's so cold, and they reduce, you know, to heating. It's incredible here in the United States to something, you know, to realize.
Yeah, it's hard for us to imagine, and I'm glad you told us of your experience, Bishop, because, you know, the connections among Eastern Catholics and even Roman Catholics who are connected to Eastern Europe, it's very, very close here in the Cleveland area just because of, you know, the immigration patterns and who lives here. And we can't let the suffering people there in Ukraine and in all those border areas where the refugees have gone, cannot forget to keep them in prayer.
In prayers.
I'm glad you told us of your experience. Oh, yeah. Also in 2022, here in the United States, you were here just after the decision about Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court overturned the abortion on demand. But now the local states, now everyone is fighting over this. And even some states in that election, Bishop, about 2 months ago, voted to make their state abortion sanctuary. We look at this, we say, it's the 21st century. What are people thinking, Bishop? What do you think about this? It's very hard to understand how someone could choose something like this, to make it the law in their state.
Yes, this, you know, also this is a mystery for me, and I can understand this, how if they don't never watch, you know, in the on gazing, you know, in the eyes of the small baby. As you know, innocent creation, what is, you know, the mirroring, you know, the eternal life, you know, the God. And this is for me something what is surprising me. How they people can say is the right of the woman and she can to do it. This is a still mystery for me. Maybe what we need to do, what I see, really we need to pray for these people. Because it's something what is something as you know, it should be, you know, in darkness, and the eyes as blind. And interesting, you know, I read, you know, a couple of days ago in Slovak Conservative, you know, the paper, electronical paper, the interview with one feminist, and how she was, you know, reacting, couple years ago was very aggressive, or what we as a Catholic conservative in sense, you know, doing, how she changed, you know, idea. You know, and this is convincing me that we need to lead dialogue with these people. Many times we are going to say, no, we have to speak about anything about them. It's not true. We don't know how they were growing up. We don't know their background. We don't know anything about these people practically. Do you know what I mean? So what Jesus should do with them today in the United States about, you know, also about this position? As this parable is Jesus telling, you know, he's leaving, you know, 99 sheep. He's going to looking for, you know, this word is lost. It's not this situation maybe in our lives. It's not situation maybe right now also in the U.S., even, you know, this, you know, the situation that, you know, single states can, you know, to make decisions and again starting, you know, this fight. Who is making, you know, this fight? The devil. Devil wants make, you know, create from us the enemies to each other. But we are brothers and sisters. And this is a case, maybe also this is a possibility and an occasion for us to offer them the hand, to offer them maybe the seat for, you know, for a cup of coffee. And to speak together, maybe to listen them. Why is your disposition? What's happened in your life, in your maybe difficult life, that you are thinking that this is the best solution? The first this step should be to listen before that we will start to judge. And afterwards, maybe slowly, step by step, with this dialogue, maybe we, with help of God, we can maybe to lead these people to discover, you know, the truth that every human life is a gift of God.
We'll all be facing that. We have in the past, and we will again, unfortunately, in our state. And Bishop, just maybe one or two more minutes as we look back at 2022 and the things that have impacted our lives and yours and those of the people in your eparchy and in your various churches. So now you have had for about a year a number of priests that came from Slovakia. It was about 5, 6, and some had families. And I wonder, you brought them over to serve the people in your eparchy. How are they doing now here in their new homes in Ohio, or if they went to some other state in your eparchy?
Yeah, so not only from Slovakia. Yeah, some of them, they were from Slovakia.
Was one from Hungary?
One is from Hungary, three from Ukraine, from Transcarpathia, and three of them from Slovakia. So from different, the year ago, before Christmas, the Christmas 2021, they started to come. And last one came in August, last August. So they started to release some of them. Just they are, in the parishes, the administrators here in the Cleveland area, also in Michigan. One is from Ukraine, is in Michigan, in Detroit. So they start to inculturate. It's not easy for them. I see that is, the first year is very tough for them, but they try. They also their wives. The kids in schools, mm-hmm. Yes, the kids, they are the best. They are inculturating with languages all, perfectly. Yes, it's not easy, but they are maybe, as some of would see that maybe from adults is a problem.
Yeah, the children adapt faster.
Yeah. So, it's also joyful for me because also for our believers, it's a hope that, becoming, the young priest, prepared priest, just, prepared with some experience, that they can really to serve them for glory of God, not for some, personal, some interest, but really they left all their relations, their friends, their family, and they came here to serve. And this is something what it's connected with Jesus, because Jesus told the disciples, to apostles, go and to this world, and teach them and baptize them in the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And this is what it's wonderful, that even, practically today, no country is excluded from mission activity. No U.S., no Slovakia, no Ukraine. Today is mission everywhere. And that doesn't mean there's some offense that have to come. Thanks to God, Americans, praise God that, still are people and priests and pastors, and I don't know what, but in our case, the priest, they are open and they're willing to come here to support our, Eastern Catholic Church in the United States.
It is a sacrifice. These young men, like you said, most have families and they pick up and go to a foreign country. The United States for them is a foreign country,
yeah.
And try to adapt and make a new life, but as you said, for the greater glory of God.
Yeah.
We're talking with Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, here on Table Talk on The Rock, AM 1260. I'm Dick Russ, your host. Our producer today is Dan Dealey, and we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some, as we hinted at the beginning of the program, some very important feast days, particularly in the Eastern Catholic Churches when we return. And welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. In the studio with us at the table, His Grace, Bishop Milan Lach, Society of Jesus. He's the bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. We've kind of, looked back over year 2022. We've just begun the new year, of course, and it begins in the Catholic Church with a number of feast days. And we have just completed within the last week or so, as we're taping this program, the wonderful feast of the Epiphany, the Theophany. The revelation of God, Epiphania, Theophania. Bishop, give us an idea. What do those words mean? And what does this great feast, very big in the Eastern churches, mean for all of us?
This feast on the Eastern church was established in the middle of the 4th century. So theologically also took, a little bit, the steps practically after the oppression, when started the freedom for the church. Also, the theology was developed in the beginning of the 4th century. Also, in the question of the Holy Spirit, the creed. Practically, the same time, same period was, the established, the creed, and Nicene Constantinople creed.
Thanks very much to the Eastern Church Fathers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is, connected also with this feast because, the was revealed. We celebrate in the baptism of Jesus, we celebrate, the revelation of the Holy Trinity, of three divine persons, God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit. And this even when Jesus was entered in the river of the Jordan to be baptized in the humility that he was first, John was opposed. And Jesus told him, you know, let it be to do what is just before God. No, you know, Jesus is giving us, you know, this example witness of how Christians, we have to be humble. How we have to, you know, in all positions, to not work and to don't work as a from position of the control of the rights of the, but of the, you know, the example of Jesus, as a witness of Jesus, to see, you know, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, you know, the dove is coming, descending for on him, and to listen, you know, these wonderful words of Heavenly Father, this is my beloved Son, obey him. And this is, you know, this is my beloved Son. And this is something what is expressing, is describing us, how was this relation between Heavenly Father and his Son Jesus. And this is something, this revelation of the love of the Holy Trinity is showing us, and really on this, you know, this period of what we are celebrating, this feast, also of sense of our Christian life. Because when we're becoming the Christians, in the holy baptism, practically we are following the Jesus, even that he has not, you know, sins. We know that we have this original sin, even every small baby has, you know, that. And this is important also in this culture here in the United States, to, you know, to speak about this, to have conscious that we are sinful. That not everything is, you know, that is a something positive, and we want to see everything positive. We have, of course, that we have also virtues, but we also vicious. And we have to accept this. Because if we have not this approach, afterwards we have no desire to God, because afterwards we can say, we don't need God. Why? We are perfect. We are Superman in the society. But it's not true. It's a false.
Isn't this our society today?
Yeah, but it's a
centered
false.
Centered around yeah. The man around yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we are giving, you know, the to wishes, we are giving, you know, the virtues name. Instead of the pride, we say self-estimate. And cetera, you know. What is wrong? And we can, you know, because you know this, even on the, you know, this epiphany, this theophany is showing us that, you know, what is the true? It's the love of God. And we are invited by Holy Trinity, by, you know, the Father and the Jesus as his Son, to follow him. Because God wants that we will participate on this love. He wants that we will be happy as well as he, as a Holy Trinity. You know, so Holy Trinity, in short, it's for us example of our Christian life. That Holy Trinity is imagined also, you know, that every family, you know, how should to live, you know, the Christian life. You know, in relations of love. Because afterwards, instead we are living in relations of the, you know, the hating and anger, we are not following Holy Trinity, but we are following devil, who is dividing. Mm-hmm. Who is dividing, you know, our families. Who is, you know, also, you know, these divorces. What do you know, the challenging U.S. and all Western civilization. Are you sure that is really the best for these poor kids? No. Because every kid needs mom and daddy. Both mom and daddy. I'm repeating again, mom and daddy. Nothing else is not family. All is, you know, the experiment. And we have to tell as a really honestly that everyone desires to be loved. And this is, you know, our mission also to support and also reveal the Bible, the Holy Gospels are revealing, as you know, this mystery of this feast of the Theophany.
It is almost or maybe as important as the Feast of Christmas. Obviously, Christmas, Christ is born, and that is the event in human history, along with the incarnation, that God became man for us, to save us. In this, he is fully revealed, Bishop. Is that it?
Yeah.
The Trinity is revealed to us.
Yeah, because, you know, Trinity, as a, you know, it was as a spirit, as a God. God is not in person, is, you know, human. Only in the person of Jesus Christ, he became, because Jesus said, no, who is seeing me? He's seeing my Father. So this is really important feast for us as one aspect, as you mentioned. We always, in the center of our celebration of our liturgical year, is Jesus Christ. It is important to know. So we could, you know, discuss, but it's not also important, you know, to say which feast is important. Important is Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ as a God and a human being. And every aspect of, you know, his parts of his life, it's showing us more and more deeply the mystery and revealing a mystery of Jesus and his life. And this is, I think, it's a goal also, you know, this old feast, what we are celebrating, to help people, to help us believers to understand by heart, not only by mind, but also by heart, how God is good with us and for us.
It is also the beginning of Jesus' public ministry at his baptism. This is the part where John the Baptist, and he said it himself, he decreases and Jesus increases. And from there, some of the followers of John the Baptist, even now, they follow Jesus, because they would say the torch was passed. The true Savior is here, and the one who heralded him can now move into the background, and Jesus' public life begins. Thanks be to God, thanks be to him for us. And then Jesus now begins all of those things that he teaches us for 3 years.
Yeah, it was, you know, in the first beginning of the church, it was a little bit problem because, you know, these followers of John Baptist, they were, you know, as a one group, and it was, you know, a little bit unclear, you know, in the first decades of the church. So, and the Gospels is showing us that really, you know, that John was only preparing, you know, the way for Messiah, for Jesus, for Christ. And this is important to know. And the Gospels is showing us that for us Christians is not something, yes, we are devotion as to saints, to St. John Baptist, but it's not, you know, the level and the same as Jesus as should be. And it's proclaimed by also the teaching of the tradition of the Catholic Church.
On this great feast of the Epiphany, and we're talking with Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here on Table Talk, on this feast of Theophany, Epiphany, we also have the great blessing of the holy water. It is a very, very certain prayer, somewhat long, a little bit complex, but it has different parts in it where we invoke the Holy Spirit to come upon this water. Bishop, tell us a little bit more about this blessing of the holy water. We're told in some of the prayers that when this water is blessed, it is very powerful water. This is not just ordinary anymore. It takes on a certain spiritual, powerful characteristic. What is this about, Bishop?
These prayers are wonderful, are amazing, because really they're expressing, you know, all theology of this fourth century, the Gregory of Wonderworker, the Basil the Great, the St. Ambrose, the you know, and the others, you know, these big, you know, the fathers of the church. And simply to say, was it that is it also the question of the blessing of the Jordan River, of the Jordan, as you know, the blessing of all creation, sanctifying the creation, because the water is, as you know, it's without water we are not able to survive. Water is a symbol of the life. Also for us a Christian, as you know, the symbol of the water, baptismal water, but also water as you know using, and we are using in our tradition, as you know, the water, the holy water of the of Jordan, as a first after the blessing of the, you know, this water in the church. Bishop or priest are taking, you know, this water directly and is going blessing the whole church from sanctuary, all, you know, the neve, the people and everybody. And afterwards are going, you know, to blessing of the houses. For which sign? The sign that this water really has, you know, this power to, you know, to expel, you know, that these impure spirits, the evil spirits, the devils, because they are present everywhere. They are working. They are not sleeping. And this is making us also, you know, the using this water. Yes, we know that it's not sacrament. It's not, you know, the holy sacraments, but it's, you know, these blessed goods of creation. What is giving us church to help us also to remember us, you know, the importance of this water and also this power. For example, in my house, when I was small, we had also the place close to doors, you know, the small, you know, the container with this Jordan water. Mm-hmm. And we always follow, you know, my daddy. When he enter in house, he makes sign of cross with this water, or maybe he was going out. He never left house without this sign of cross with this water, holy water of the Jordan. And we can say, oh, you know, it's maybe something superstitious. No, it's not about superstition. No. It's about expression of our faith in daily life. Because this is a problem today. We are Christians on the 1 hour, for 1 hour on the Sunday. My question is, and are we are Christians, you know, the other, you know, 6 days? If we know all, you know, these tools, we can say, are helping us also to understand the mystery, also this Holy Theophany. And also, you know, this blessing, this Jordan big water, that it's according tradition, of course, right now we are making churches. But, you know, in Europe, we were making them, you know, on the river.
In the river.
Almost on the lakes. Yeah. One time I did, you know, in Michigan Lakes in Chicago as well. That, and I saw there, you know, because I consecrate this water and I took, you know, the cup and I drink this water. But I saw others, they were smiling and watching to seeing me what I'm doing. I said, this is a blessed water. Do you believe it or no? Because they won't, because, you know, the poison, as you know, the Michigan lake. I said, it's a blessed water right now. Where is your faith? Do you understand? So this is what we need of faith. If we have not faith, God can make, you know, the miracles. There is not faith. Afterwards, this is all fake. Afterwards, why we are making theater? Our liturgy is not theater. Our liturgy is the expression of our faith. What we are believing, we are praying. What we are praying, we are believing. If we are making also, you know, this act of the water, the blessing of this water, as you mentioned, we are making with this water with respect. Also because we are blessing, you know, the houses, but also all, you know, these blessings we are doing in our Eastern Church, the icons, you know, the food on the baskets, food, you know, the Easter, we are blessing with this water as a sign of blessing and sanctification by sprinkling of this water. I mean, you know, the cars, you know, you can blessing everything what is, you know, really good, what's helping the people for their life. So for our Christians, Eastern Christians, it's very important, you know, this sign as a part of our faith. It's not something, you know, they're doing because. No, this is something what we're growing. I was growing, you know, as a small boy. And I really to do it with faith, because only there also when it's a faith also, you know, we can also expel, you know, the demons and also, you know, this impure spirit.
This is something that anyone listening might want to do, right, Bishop? Ask your pastor or your priest, Eastern Catholic, Roman Catholic, come and bless your house with holy water.
Oh, yeah. I encourage you, you know, you listeners, to invite priest. Why we have, you know, so shy, so private to invite the representative of God in my house to bless my house where I'm living 24/7? And we are, no, we don't need. Because it's starting also just, you know, in Europe, Eastern Europe. Yeah. They don't invite priests more. I said, why? You are shy or what you have, you know, the clean, you know, for this, you know, one time. And invite him, you know, to bless, you know, your house. Because, you know, with priests are coming also the blessing. And with his blessing is powerful. Yeah. What is protecting you? How many people are going, you know, to psychologists because they have, you know, the troubles? Many of people can, you know, sleep in the night. Why? Because something could be also, you know, is influencing them. Invite priest to bless, you know, we sprinkle by holy water of the Jordan. A priest will make, you know, the prayers, special prayers, you know, in your house. And after you will see. Try it.
Try it.
Try it, you know, and don't try, you know, to invite priests, you know, in your house.
And keep holy water in the house.
Yeah, and use
it. People used to do this all the time, Bishop, here in the United States, but recent years, not so much anymore. And like your example of your father, blessed himself every time he entered the house and left the house. It doesn't take much. Put, you know, they have the little holy water thing by the door, right?
And even, you know, I heard, you know, that also, you know, many people also put in, you know, a little bit, you know, also in food, when they cook it, food, you know, to put, why, you know, it's a blessed. It's, you know, good. It's something what is, you know, again, helping us. It's, you know, the giving us, and again, it's not superstition. We are using all, you know, these things, blessed things, you know, what is helping us to approach to God. As the St. Ignatius is telling, what is, you know, to helping you approaching to God, use it.
Yes.
But with not helping you, eliminate this. Mm-hmm. If we could, you know, to lead our life according this rule, this our Christian life should be different, I assure you.
You're listening to Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He's the Eparch of the Eparchy of Parma for the Byzantine Catholics here on Table Talk. This is The Rock, AM 1260. I'm Dick Russ, your host, and we're going to continue our conversation with His Grace, Bishop Milan, right after we take another brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're with Bishop Milan Lach and Bishop Milan, now 5 years as the bishop approximately of the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholics here in Parma and throughout how many states? 12, 13 states you have?
Officially 12 states. Actually, we are physically present in 8 states.
Okay, and that's a very large eparchy, and you have a big job. And one of the things that you begin to outline in your most recent magazine, your eparchy, by the way, has a magazine. I want our listeners to know this. It's called Horizons. And I just have to say, Bishop, as a journalist, that the magazine is outstanding. And it's just getting better. And I would encourage anyone listening, if you want to get an aspect of your Catholicism from an Eastern Catholic perspective, and a very solid, universal, foundational stuff, go to parma.org. That is your website. And look for Horizons Magazine and subscribe to this. I'm going to put in that plug for it because there is a lot of good information in there, excellent features and teaching and catechesis. That's what we want to talk about now. You have started to emphasize catechesis, teaching the people. And I think you realize, and many of us do, that in the last 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years here in the West, particularly in the United States, there was not a lot of emphasis on teaching, actually, of the Catholic faith, East or West. What does it mean to us? Why do we believe what we believe? And the discovery that someone can make when they begin to go more in depth about this is just unbelievable. Tell us, Bishop Milan, about catechesis. What does that mean? How can we know more, even if we're older, about our Catholic faith?
The catechesis, you know, it's a one of basic parts of the evangelization. As a speaking Pope Francis in his new directory, what he published 2 years ago. And I was also inspired by his words in this directory that it's part of our faith. We can, you know, to stop, you know, to grow in our faith. Because in the minds of many Christians, even Catholics, is, you know, I made, you know, my religion education until my 8th grade. It's done. It's not true. Because in the faith, in the growing, in the love, in my relation with Jesus, it's not, you know, the limit. Many people, they don't know, many Christians even, they don't know, that we will be growing in love with God forever. I don't know how to explain you. Maybe you will ask me why, but we will be growing in love in God forever. Our love will be only growing still. No, will be stopped, never. And this means that we are invited, you know, in this catechesis, taking as a something what is a part of our faith. What is, you know, our, you know, the commitment of our baptism. Again, we have to come back, you know, our baptism. Again, we are going back, you know, in the feast also Theophany, Holy Theophany, because it's about our baptism, about our identity. Why we have, you know, losing, you know, we are losing, as you know, United States, the Catholics numbers, because we are not convinced about our faith. We are not convinced about truth, what Jesus and the Catholic Church is showing us. And afterwards, what we see that in our families even, the parents are not convinced as a teachers, as a witnesses for their kids. That I see in our churches, in Cleveland area here, that many of our believers, for example, 70 up, their kids, they are not in church more. Their grandkids as well, they are not more in church. And I'm not judging them, but I see there that we as a church, especially we are bishops and priests, we neglected something. Last 60 years here in the United States, and even in our Eastern Catholic Church, in our Ruthenian Church here, I am not apologizing, I am not, you know, judging again, but I'm telling reality. And we have to be humble again to say, yes, maybe we didn't make all what we need to do. And also, you know, these catechesis, for me, after, you know, the preaching as a bishop and my prayer, is that the third most important thing for my mission as a bishop. I told also this, you know, to our priest, that first catechist in the eparchy is a bishop. The first catechist in the parish is a priest. If we are neglecting our mission, and we all to say, oh, we have catechist, laymen, this is not excuse. They are only helping us. And this is their favor. It is a good that they are, you know, so as enthusiastic as they want. But we have to, don't forget, that we have to forming them. We make ongoing formation. And this means that we always have to, you know, to open, you know, this question. Even, you know, we did last year the survey in our eparchy. And the majority of these answers, the responses from parishes, one of the important points, what was, they people, adults, believers, are calling, are begging us to make catechesis, regular catechesis for them. If people are asking me, even the priest, maybe not every of them is enthusiastic for this, but this is, you know, the something what willing the people, and myself as a bishop, I have to listen them. And also I have to look for, you know, to help them to really to grow in this their faith. Because, you know, this is important as a point of our Christian life, to grow in faith, to grow in knowing the God, to grow in prayer, to grow in relation with God. And this is all is conclude, including, you know, the catechesis. What is, you know, the standard part of our faith, our participation of our faith. Because many times, and we have to look for, really, you know, it's a challenging also myself, how to do it, because on the homily, you know, Sunday homily is not part of the catechesis. Homily is, you know, for kerygma, for proclaim the word of God, and to explain the word of God. But also catechesis, as a mentioning, you know, is mentioning Pope Francis, also catechesis has to keep, you know, this line of the kerygmatic dimension, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And this has to be, you know, alive. And afterwards, all is, you know, secondary, what is important even to know the people. Have they know the Easter basket? And is important. I'm not telling you not to deny it. But we have to go on the roots. We have to go on the fundament of our faith. And our liturgy is a Byzantine liturgy, is a wonderful possibility. If you are praying the Vespers, you are praying the Matins, this all liturgical text, what people, is it for people? All is inside what we should to know. So it's not only knowledge. This is, you know, transformed in our Eastern Catholic, you know, in Eastern theology as a spirituality, that our liturgy is all, you know, containing this. But this is one problem. If people are reducing all on the only on Sunday liturgy for 1 hour, I'm sorry, I can, you know, to explain them and to offer them as a bishop this, what we have. For this is a reason that also, as you mentioned, parma.org, also on our Facebook, you can follow us every morning at 8 a.m. We are praying Matins from Holy Dormition Church in Cleveland, here in all Brooklyn. And after his Divine Liturgy, and afternoon at 5 p.m. every day, we have Vespers. And this is, you know, the catechesis, the regular meeting with Lord. As a community, even two or three of us, they are present. Jesus said, where there are two or three of you, I am with you. So this is, you know, my effort, and really, you know, what I consider this as a something, as a solution also for our church and also for U.S., if we will not start, you know, to catechize ourselves and we will be open as a Catholics, as a believers, we have not as a wonderful perspective. So this is my conviction and my experience also these 5 years here in the United States.
Yeah, we have to make time for this, Bishop. Everyone is busy with everything. You're busy with work, busy with sport, busy with this or that, and I have to go here and go there and shopping. You mentioned prayer in the morning, 8 o'clock, prayer in the afternoon at 5. You would just say, try it. Try for one day and take a look and see if you can make a little bit of time on one day and then go from there. Because you always come back to the roots that it's about Jesus. It's about following him, recognizing him, and in the daily life, 24/7. Try it, right?
Yeah, nothing else. Try it. If until right now you didn't practice, you can start today. What is you know opposing? What is you know to make a problem today? Everybody has time. If you are alive here in this world, always we can start. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you start you know on the beginning of this you know 2023, and start maybe you know to make more deeply your spiritual life, even as it may be. I invite you, you know, really to participate and to pray with us, parma.org, or, you know, on Facebook, Eparchy of Parma. You'll find us, we are live stream, you know, from 8 a.m. and from 5 p.m. every day. And you can participate, even if you will be listening. Mm-hmm. Just as a prayer. Listen these prayers, the Psalms, wonderful, you know, tradition of the Bible, where Jesus was prayed. And this is just, you know, starting catechesis. Also because this is something what's starting, moving in us. And afterwards, you will maybe look for more, the fathers of the church, maybe some, you know, the biography of the saints. All this is a catechesis. Also for others around you, about your colleagues in school, in the job, in the, you know, neighborhood. And this is what we need, not to be close. We have to be welcoming people in our churches. And afterwards, this catechesis and also, you know, the mission of the Jesus will be fulfilled.
We're listening to Bishop Milan Lach here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock. Just a couple minutes left, and we'll get the bishop's blessing and have some final words after we take one last break. Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of Table Talk, where at the table with us here in the studios of The Rock is Bishop Milan Lach. Bishop, start of the new year, as we've said, we've kind of made that our theme, what we can do. Give us some encouragement for 2023. We all have our problems, personal and family, community, city, country, world, a little bit of something to give us hope for the coming year.
Yes, maybe if I can, you know, to recommend you, maybe to ask you, maybe to also from my position, what I see in my life, personal life, is, you know, to look for the unity. To look for the unity among us, among brothers and sisters, to be really brothers and sisters. I understand that every one of us can have, you know, the different opinions. Also, this is a greatness if we are able to respect other and to respect the opinion of the others, to create friendship among us. But this friendship is going from our heart. If we have not peace in our heart, the unity with God in our heart, we cannot to have create friendship, you know, outside. So this is my wishing. Look for the unity with God in your heart. This I wish you in this year. I'm convinced that afterwards we'll be resolving also other our prayer problems, our challenges, what we have. With this, look for God in my heart, in my insight, and to, you know, to welcome God in your heart. And afterwards, because God is this peace, is you know, this Prince of Peace, and he's giving the peace. And afterwards, we can give the peace to others. Because if we have not this, we can give others. So this is my wishing to all you listeners of this wonderful radio. I would like to say thank you to everyone, to you, Mr. Dick, for all, you know, the employees here in on the radio. What you are making a wonderful, great job for proclaiming Jesus Christ in this world through these modern technologies as a radio. And may God bless you, you and you, all the listeners of this radio. The blessing of the Lord be upon you, through His loving kindness, always, now and ever and forever.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Milan Locke of the Society of Jesus, Bishop of the Eparchy of Parma, our guest here on Table Talk. Thank you once again, Bishop. Our thanks to Dan Dealey, our producer, and I'm Dick Russ. For all of us here at The Rock, we wish you a very blessed and happy new year in 2023 and greatly appreciate your listening to us here on Table Talk.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.